Our epistle lesson today is from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 to 10. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. Be with us in this time and place, we pray. Amen. So today, July 4th, is a beloved national holiday, and for good reason. Today, we remember those who have gone before us to secure our freedom. We remember that people have died to secure that freedom. We also remember those who are serving our country now, and we are grateful, deeply grateful, as we should be. It is our freedom that allows us to gather here right now and for worship each week without fear of persecution or death. What a gift, what a blessing, right? We should never lose sight of those gifts and blessings. It's why pride swells within our hearts as we sing patriotic songs and see the waving flag. And yet, Independence Day is not a liturgical holiday for the Christian church. Why? It's because our allegiance is first and foremost to God, the God of the universe, not just of America. National allegiance and Christian allegiance are not one and the same. We have received many blessings from God, but we cannot claim that God's love and favor rest upon this country alone. The kingdom of God is bigger than that. We can and should give God praise for all the blessings and freedom we enjoy, but we are also called to see God's blessing upon all people. And we are called to work on the areas where we might be weak, relying on God's power and help. And one of those areas we might call attention to on this Independence Day is our dependence upon God. Now, being dependent is not exactly a popular topic for rugged, individualistic people like Americans, but it's definitely something that people of faith should consider. We are not our own, and we are not on our own. We are all here by the grace of God, and we rely upon that grace for literally everything in our lives, especially the power to keep going when times are tough. Our nation has seen tough times recently. We continue to see struggles all around us. So what are we as Christians called to do in times like these? One thing that never fails is a return to the basics, and by that I mean our relationship with God. We ask ourselves the question, how can my relationship with God and walk with Jesus Christ help me through the tough times? How can it help us through the tough times? Paul gives us some pretty straight answers here in 2 Corinthians 12, and he starts by urging humility. That's an important message on a day like today. And then he explains how and why we rely upon God. Now, Paul's context is familiar. He's surrounded by disagreement and contention among different groups. He's been hearing about these church fights, divisions, super apostles that are vying for leadership. So he steps in with this letter to remind them that they're looking for strength and power in all the wrong places. He starts 2 Corinthians 12, ironically, with a description of someone's heavenly vision, but we're pretty sure it was his own. But instead of boasting about that, he chooses to distance himself and step away from the power struggles and direct them back to their true strength, which is found only in Jesus Christ. And in case we forgot, that strength of Christ can be found, believe it or not, in our times and places of weakness. Paul knows this all too well because God allowed him to have some kind of thorn in the flesh, some kind of disability or pain, and God did not relieve him of that pain. Rather, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." See, the power of God was revealed to him through the weakness. It was Paul's reminder that all power is really God's, not ours. Can you even imagine if words about strength and weakness were spoken across our news or media? But friends, that's the gospel. God's power is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is sufficient for us when we are weak. That's the only way Paul can go on to say, "When I am weak, then I am strong." The question is, do we believe that? Do we live by that? This is not a message that proud, independent Americans want to hear. We want to do it all ourselves. We want to avoid dependence and weakness. But Paul is saying that weakness and vulnerability and suffering, God can and does use these things for our good. Why? Because they remind us that we are not God and that we need to rely upon God. Many people have speculated what Paul's thorn in the flesh really was and why Paul doesn't say. Maybe it was because the people in Corinth already knew. But it doesn't really matter, and it might be good that we don't know, because then we can read these verses and see our own trials and challenges, all the things we've asked God to take away in our own lives. Only I have to admit that I've asked God to remove them way more than 3 times. What about you? What is that thorn in the flesh for you? Is it pain or illness, addiction, family struggles, finances, job? We all have a thorn or 2 or 3, but we also have something amazing we can learn from it with God's help. That is not to say that God creates the thorns. Paul himself is very clear. The thorn is from Satan, not God. God is not the author of all evil, pain, and suffering. Rather, God is the one bringing good out of it. There's a big difference, and on it hangs the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't say that all suffering is a gift, and we should not say to people, "Just grin and bear it." What Paul is saying is that God is always with us, even in our suffering, and we can find God's grace and power in times of weakness. See, for Paul, God's grace and power is like air. God's power in your life, can you imagine it as the air you breathe helping you that much? This is one reason that Streams in the Desert by L.B. Cowman is one of the best devotionals I've ever read. Its pages are saturated with these paradoxes of our faith, like strength and weakness and power in the broken places. In the devotional reading for yesterday, July 3rd, the author talks about seeing a beautiful meadow of lush grass and flowers. Then the next day, he was shocked to see it completely plowed under by a farmer, leaving only barren dirt. That's when God revealed a vision of a field ripe with delicious corn, and then he realized God's purpose is to yield a harvest. Out of seeming destruction comes beauty and life. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 spoke about a suffering servant, a passage that many looked back to after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It says, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his bruises we are healed." In Philippians 2, Paul says that Jesus emptied himself in love like a servant, going all the way to death on a cross. That's what revealed his power. The cross. We saw his strength in something that seemed to be weakness. Sufficient grace, power and pain, strength and weakness. You can hardly read through the Bible without seeing these truths on almost every other page. The heroes of our faith are all examples. They're imperfect, lowly, broken, sinful, every single one of them. And Jesus, though perfect, was also lowly and broken upon the cross. But what happened because of that? The resurrection. The cross was the path to new life and joy. You know what we see in our secular world that's similar to all this? The 12-step program. The steps are about being real and vulnerable and admitting weakness. They're about turning it all over to God because that's when we find real strength. It's about reliance upon God. That's the key. When Jesus sends out his disciples, as we heard in Mark 6 today, he sends them out telling them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money, only wear sandals and one tunic. These guys have nothing except their faith, except Jesus' own power inside them. And without money and materials, they are able to do ministry and miracles. Think of what we can learn from that. To rely upon God is our calling, especially God's power in our weakness and brokenness. Ernest Hemingway famously said, "Life breaks all of us, but some of us are strong in the broken places." It's kind of like the Japanese art called kintsugi. It's the art of putting broken pieces of pottery back together with gold, so that the cracks in the pottery are not something to be hidden, but rather beauty to behold. I love that. Do you know the professor and researcher Brené Brown? She's a great speaker and author. She talks about this in her work because she studies vulnerability. She, in fact, believes that the biggest problem we all face is our lack of vulnerability. So much of the time we want to be strong or numb ourselves with all kinds of things like addiction or overeating or overspending so we won't be vulnerable. But living a meaningful life requires being real, vulnerable, open to both the pain and joy of life. It isn't easy to live that way. Most of us just prefer to put on a good face, hold it all together, or at least look like we know what we're doing. But sometimes we're falling apart, right? And when people ask, "How are you?" if we're honest, we could go on for days, right? But if we choose to acknowledge our weakness, our brokenness, if we choose to be real, we can find true life and joy. I've always believed the saying that the deepest pain can lead to the deepest joy. I've certainly witnessed that truth time and again. Paul was so adamant about us finding God's strength in weakness because it leads to life and joy. If you read through Paul's letters of the New Testament, you'll find lengthy descriptions of all the suffering he endured. But it was precisely those times of suffering that led him to the greatest joy. It enabled him to say he was completely content at all times, like in Philippians 4:11. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," in Philippians 4:13. So the question for us today is, what do we believe? Do we believe that God's power is made perfect in weakness? Do we believe that God's grace is sufficient for us in times of pain? Are we able to see the thorns in our flesh and give them to God, saying, "You can do something great with this"? Friends, hear the good news today. Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is sufficient for us. And those thorns in our flesh, they may just be the windows to the joy and peace we seek. May we all rely upon God, the source of all power and strength. And for that gift, all God's people can say together, Amen.